request for our horticulturalist Charles Banky here as well. Do you sing this when you're out there, you know, walking through the gardens at some point?
Oh, sure, I do.
Do you have a tulip joke? Is there a joke involving tulips?
No, I do not have any tulip jokes.
All right. Charles Banky, he sends me an email or a text or something because we were talking about him the other day about tulips because Craig has these tulips. Now, what was wrong with one of Craig's tulips? Was only like 2 inches tall and all the other ones. Did he plant it too deep? What happened with this tulip?
No, it probably was just stunted from some growth thing. It could also have a virus in it too, but usually those are weeded out along the line. It may have been injured at planting time back in the fall. Remember that the spring flowering tulips are planted in the fall all the way up into December is about the latest planting you can do of those
now,
things.
Now, if I want fall bulbs, do I plant them now? Or
yeah, well, you're really saying I want spring, or I want summer to into fall blooming.
Okay,
yes, those would be planted now. Things such as gladiolus, dahlias would be put in now, and they'll be in bloom and stay in bloom. But they're typically not hardy in this area if you leave them outdoors. Whereas the spring flowering bulbs, which we plant in the fall, are very hardy in this area.
Okay, so it's best to do the bulb planting in the fall because those ones will give us more joy. I
mean, more joy for many more years. Yes.
Okay. All right. Matt Douglas is here. Now, you're not. Are you here with Charles Banky before? Have you been here with him?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
All right. Experience, yeah.
Matt tells me all the time, I've got this stupid apple tree.
I do, yes.
And it drops apples, and his mower chews them up, or the bees, or whatever.
But that's the biggest thing. It draws bugs like you wouldn't believe, especially hornets. They seem to want to hang out by this thing. Right. And I've got two young girls now. One of them's starting to move around and wants to go play outside. So I'm trying to draw as few bees and hornets as possible.
So help him with
his
apple
tree.
Well,
it's an older tree.
Yes.
And it, apparently you must have some insects around to help for pollination, mm-hmm. i.e. bees, bumblebees, flies.
Sure.
That help with pollination. At pollination time, there is actually a product on the market called Florel.
Okay.
It's available in many garden centers. You can spray it on and actually take off the bloom so that majority of the apples will not set.
Okay.
So thus you don't have all these bigger things you have to pick up.
How do you spell this? Because I'm
Florel.
All right.
And it's available at garden centers. It's put out by Monterey Chemical Company.
Right.
And you'll find it at local garden centers. It's there. And it comes out, but it's a very specific use product. It's called Florel. The active ingredient is epiphon. Ethylene gas is released when this is produced, and ethylene is a naturally occurring hormone that causes abscission of flower blossoms. And it can be used, it's used quite generally in greenhouses. You know, these nice geraniums we get that have a lot of branches on it, they'd use Florel on them during the winter, and they cause more branches to occur on the plant. It does weird things to plant.
So this will mean he will have less of
it. A good 90% less fruit. And I would also say it's also recommended if people have things such as hawthorn berries that fall, people who have these sweet gum trees that throw up these spiny little balls all over the place. If you have an ornamental pear, it would have taken that off.
How do you apply this on a big tree then?
To have a good high-pressure sprayer to do it or have a commercial company come in and do it.
Okay.
You do have to do, and commercially they do this in orchards all the time to do thinning of fruit. They use a different compound, but they do thinning of fruit. You know, say there's 5,000 to 10,000 blooms on an apple tree.
Right.
They only want 1% of those flowers to set, so you get nice big apples.
Huh. All right.
So there is a product out there, and it's been out there for the last 20 years.
Okay.
And you just haven't looked for it.
Your eyes
have seen it and you don't know what it does.
That's probably a possibility. I've only had the house for 3 years and I don't know. It just seems like every year I'm kind of dealing with it and all. But you say the fruit would still be edible if it's.
Yes,
if you
it would be. Yes. Okay. Quite possible. Yes.
Now, does he need to spray it so there's not any kind of bugs or insects? Isn't there always
spray in the evening hours. And there's a very short window of about 10 days that you get to use it.
Okay.
Right at petal fall it's used, and that is the critical time.
All
so, right. you know, You don't have a big window to use it. That's why people don't know about it very well.
Now, what if he doesn't do this and he ends up still with those rotting fruit where you get
all
the
rake
yellow,
them up, my good friend. Rake them up. Yeah. And the pest that's coming around, it's usually the yellow jacket that likes it for the little bit of sweetness that's there. There's also another phenomenon that occurs on apples. It's called June drop.
Okay.
And a lot of people who do not have either honeybees or bumblebees nearby that have done a good pollination job, if no more than three seeds are not set in an apple, there's actually five seeds inside of an apple. If less than three are set, the apples will fall off the tree, usually starting about the middle of June, because pollination is not complete, thus the apple will fall off the tree.
Not too far, though, because, you know, the apple does not fall
that's
too
what I hear.
Far from the tree.
I haven't had any bloom yet, and I don't know if the weather's been kind of crazy here lately, but typically it seems like the end of summer is when they're all coming down on me.
Right. If you should have had some flower bloom this spring.
Yeah, flowers,
That happened about May 5th through about the 15th of May, and right now the fruit is setting.
Okay.
And
so I should be getting ready is what you're
saying. Yes, you should
here.
Be getting ready.
Well, we're getting ready for the midges. You have midges on the radar. Now, is that like a figure of speech, or is this actually showing up on the
radar? No, didn't you notice that yesterday on the radar? It was yesterday morning that they were showing it on the morning news, the nice big band of midges that had come off from the lake. And those, of course, you call them Canadian soldiers is the other name for them.
Right.
And they come out in massive swarms out of the lake. They aren't going to hurt you. They don't bite. They don't have a biting mouth part. They look like giant mosquitoes, but they aren't, you know, they're in the same family as mosquitoes, but they don't bite humans or other animals. They're just out there in vaulty earth and provide food.
And stick on the side of your house and come in with you. And
yes.
So we'll do that.
Yes. Gas station bugs.
They're always at gas stations, yes.
Yes. Well, they got the lights on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's kind of like, you know, all these lights on that are out at night are kind of like saying, here's the buffet line. You know, light up the buffet, the bugs are going to come, then the spiders are going to come to, you know, feast at the buffet.
Yeah.
And along with the bats, you know, things like that that like to eat bugs at night.
I always find that fascinating, how spiders understand that. That's where all the bugs go, to the light, so they always set up shop right around the light.
Right.
It's neat to me.
Buffet.
Absolutely. I like that.
Buffet.
Hey, we also have mosquitoes that are getting out here now. I've
seen
that people, you know, buying a lot of these sprayers for their yards, foggers. Do those things work for them?
Yes. The foggers that are purchased will knock down the immediate mosquitoes that are there. Long term, we should be looking at perhaps using the mosquito dunks to put in any pools of water that might be out there. Make sure you empty the bird bath. Make sure you empty and turn over children's toys to get the excess water out. Pick up any cans, bottles that would hold a little bit of water. Only about an inch of water is needed. Things such as even tree holes that have gone, you know, have rotted away. Right. There's actually a specialized mosquito called the tree hole mosquito that lives up in there. So get those areas filled up and control mosquitoes that way.
All right, because that's where people are starting doing outdoor activities. And, you know, you have the sun heating down the day, and then when it gets cooled down a little bit, all of a sudden the mosquitoes are getting out there.
Right, and mosquitoes, certainly we have the potential of carrying diseases such as the equine encephalitis, West Nile virus in this area, and you need to, you know, protect yourself. You know, normally you use the DEET products, or there's another one called Picardin that can be put on your clothing to ward off, essentially repel the mosquitoes. But again, long sleeve clothing is best. If you have wearing your shorts and short sleeves, you know, you're just buffet.
Yeah, but the weather wants you to wear that, shorts and short sleeves as well.
It's perfect for it, but apparently the mosquitoes got that memo too. Again, amazing how they know.
How they know all that,
yes.
Too. We've got more with Charles Behnke coming up in just a little bit here, talking. Our Lorain County horticulturalist joining us, but first, a daily tip from Kim Commando.
Lips like cherries, it's good to touch the green, green grass.
I know it's kind of a sad song. It's a guy dying in prison, but it's still about the green, green grass, which we're talking to Charles Behnke, our favorite Lorain County horticulturalist here. Green grass is growing. It rains. It can't cut the lawn when it's wet because it's raining, and then the grass just grows.
Yes.
So we're into that big cycle of
Maybe having to cut twice a week At least I have been for the last probably 3 weeks or four, maybe even 4 weeks. I've had to cut twice a week to keep the grass at a manageable stage. So, and typically on mowing, we're trying to remove no more than about 1/3 of the leaf blade surface at any one time. I see some lawns that are getting longer than that. And you'll notice that when it gets long, it is hard to mow a lawn. Without
but you've told me sometimes you can let your grass grow longer to prevent the weeds from coming in.
Right, and it does help. Turf that's at about 2.5 to 3 inches, the highest setting that you can typically get on a lawnmower, will keep out things such as crabgrass and a lot of your other annual weeds that pop in. It works by shading is how it works. And just by keeping a nice thick turf, there's also this mass competition that's going on by the turf grass, and the weeds don't get a chance to
keep
going.
Dandelions are winning that battle right now.
Well, you have a thin turf.
Well, thank you very much. You noticed as well. Both my lawn and my head have the similar pattern, baldness pattern on there. What can I do to kind of like invigorate or add more to the
grass? Well, to get turf to grow, certainly it can be fed at this time of the year. Remember the three main times of feeding, maybe even four. We think of like Memorial Day as a fine time to feed. And at that time, we can also use the weed and feeds to get rid of some of the early spring annuals that have come up out of the lawn. And then Labor Day and Halloween are the two best times to really feed to get a root system to grow in the turf and get that. The rhizomes and tillers, remember, rhizomes and tillers like to form in the fall months. Yet in the spring months here in, April, May, June, all the grass wants to do is push up that seed head for you. And that's why you're out there mowing all the time.
You mentioned the competition when it comes to the turf. Is it the same thing in a flower bed? Is it more flowers? Will that help?
Yeah, it would help keep things out. You do some stuff that forms, like say some of the petunias that tend to run on the ground. Yeah. There's some you can actually kind of really keep other things out of there. One nifty thing if you're in the vegetable garden, although it'll take over, plant a couple pumpkin plants. Pumpkins are very competitive. If you have a weed problem in an area, plant pumpkins. They will just shade things out because they got such big leaves after a while that nothing else will grow there.
Wow. Right. Here's my issue. I won't lie to you, Charles. I didn't really want anything in my house, but the people who were there before had several flower beds. There's one on the side of the house, a couple out front, and one or two in the back. So we had taken everything out, but apparently I have the greenest of green thumbs when it comes to growing weeds because I've got these thistle things that are popping up everywhere, and I can't seem to get rid of them regardless of what I do.
Thistles are very difficult to do, and that brings up a good topic right now. The thistles that are out there are at prime time to be treated with something such as Roundup because it will be translocated much more easier at this time of the year down into the root system of the plant.
Right.
If you do it like in late June going into July when the flower seeds have set, you will not get very good kill of your thistle at all. It just has to do with how sugars and also the herbicide has moved back down into the soil or back down into the root system of the plant.
All right. I've got to do that then because I've said they just seem to pop up everywhere.
How much of a Roundup or weed kind of killer do you put on a plant?
Again, you mix it according to label directions.
Sure.
And typically you're mixing up something that's probably at a good minimum. The ready-to-use products, I think, are like 4 or 6% material. So that's already a 40,000 part per million already made product that you.
But am I just spraying it on a couple leaves or down the middle? Or
try to get as much as the plant as possible. And again, with thistle, make sure that it doesn't have dust on it. It hasn't been under a lot of stress. It's actively growing. It should be a sunny day when you apply it. And hopefully rain will not come within at least a good 4 to 6 hours.
Okay.
And you should get generally good uptake of the product, and you should see results on thistle. You're starting to see them bend over by about the second
day. What if I just want to pull it out of the ground?
Well, that does work, but remember, thistle roots are down a good 2 to 3 feet into the ground, and they will resprout again. I do that method out in my garden where I don't spray, and I have to keep after them for at least 3 times, 3 to 4 times, to finally defeat them.
Yeah, okay. That's right. The worst part. I've been pulling them forever. Right. It seems I finally went to the round.
No, I have some of those ones with the milk pods, the ones that the butterflies
like. Right.
What is that?
Milkweed.
Milkweed or whatever.
Yes.
And those are a little bit, they have a...
They can become invasive after a while, but they do provide food for a leaf surface for monarch butterflies.
Okay. We've got more with Charles Behnke coming up. He's going to stay an extra time to talk more about gardening. We'll get into some of the insects and also maybe pruning, perhaps, and maybe good identification of insects. That's coming up on WEOL. And we are with Charles Behnke, Lorain County's horticulturalist, joining us to talk about all things gardening. Let's see, where was the last time we were talking about a little bit about ornamentals or pruning? Now, you've always told me pruning like early before all the buds kind of set, but any kind of pruning can take place now? Or
yeah, pruning can go on now at this time. And, you know, stuff that has bloomed here in the spring, you know, like the lilac, the forsythia, you can do the major pruning on that plant still at this time, up until about the end of June, because you will still be able to get flower blossoms for the following year.
Now, does this include ornamentals that, you know, where you had that one day in May where everything bloomed and then the rain shows up and all the little buds, you know, those type of trees can be?
Well, yeah, if they flowered, you can do your pruning and take out
them.
And especially on pruning, think about on things. Take out dead, broken, or diseased branches, stuff that's way overgrown. You know, usually it's in the center of the plant. Get that out of the plant, and you can take things down fairly significantly. Also kind of keep in the back of your mind about the 20% rule, 20-25%. If you start taking out too much out of an ornamental plant, you will stimulate new growth to occur. This takes place up until about the middle of June or so. After you go past that date, you can end up killing plants too. You get too carried away.
Matt, do you have another question for Charles Behnke this morning at all?
I think I'm good. The weeds were the biggest thing to me. I'm trying to figure that whole situation
be
out.
Be consistent about your weeds.
Yeah.
You know, do treatment now. A good time. You know, you're going to get good uptake of product at this time of the year, and it will. And should control most of your weeds.
Isn't that why people buy mulch? Isn't mulch the weed?
It's actually a thing put down. Yeah, mulch, and there's different types of mulches that are available. But mulches, after you've killed weeds or cleared off an area, you know, you put it down typically about an inch and a half to 2 inches deep, and it will act as a barrier to a lot of weeds re-emerging again. But if you don't kill the weeds, especially perennial weeds that are there, they'll pop right through again.
So if you're just like covering them with a blanket of mulch, they'll just...
Yeah, that isn't going to work.
Now, what if you put down some of that like preen or pre-emergent stuff? What does that do?
The preen product, which is trifluralin, acts as a seed inhibitor only. It does not work on established roots that are in the ground. So if you have a thistle root there, or sow thistle root, or quack grass root, it will not work on that. It only works on the seed of plants that you do not want to control.
So what happened to my hostas? I had these three big hostas. This is just kind of like a, you know, a mystery question here. And then for each year now, only one of them comes up. Where did the other ones go? Did I accidentally spray it with Roundup on mistake?
You could have.
Did I dig, you know?
Did it die?
Did they just?
You know, it could have died over the winter. Typically, they're pretty hardy.
Maybe if I dig in the ground and see what's down there, right?
I'll
find some tubers or something.
You might. Yeah, they look like a piece of potato almost that's in the soil. And if you had split it and moved it, you know, split it apart and moved it around. Sometimes they do die. They rot and they've decayed away. And that's only the parent plant or one of the other and survive. I've had that happen with plants before.
Now, what am I supposed to do with hydrangeas? I kill off the dead stuff or trim back?
Yeah, all the dead stuff, dead is dead. If there's dead branches in there,
evergreen is ever, what is the?
And evergreen, ever brown is ever dead.
Thank you very much.
So just remember this, favorite scene.
I remember that.
Yes, and evergreen, ever brown is ever dead.
Right.
And dead is dead, really. That's the way things go in life, and it becomes compost after a while, if you want to take it that far, but plants do die occasionally. Hopefully they don't, but remember, you got to keep the nursery industry in business too now and then along the way. And also helps get rid of some of the old varieties. You can put in new cultivars that are much more
So there are
better
new
performers.
Science is helping us in the future now.
Yes, okay. It is.
So
yes.
What new things have you seen out there that might be happening that people should be interested in?
What new things have I seen?
Yeah, like what kind of scientific things are
happening? New scientific things. Okay. Well, you might see when you buy bagged soilless mixes, especially like under the Miracle-Gro product line or some of the other names.
Soilless mixes.
Yes, they're essentially a peat. Sometimes peat moss. They could also be with a coconut core material or perlite in there, which is a volcanic ash. But they've also added the thing called mycorrhizae. You'll actually see this long word, mycorrhizae, on the label. And those little fungal creatures attach to the roots of your plant and enhance the usually uptake of minerals and water of your plant. If you have bought in the poinsettia in the last couple of years, you probably have some of these on that poinsettia plant that you probably threw away already, but they're there working for you to make the plant grow better.
So they're always trying to come up with new ways and maybe not so much man-made chemical kind of things. Right.
I was reading an article in a magazine called Seed Technology yesterday. I happened to get it at my house.
Who's on the cover this month? Go on.
They usually have some odd picture of something going on. But they were talking about how on regulations, it's so hard to get approval for the so-called organic compounds, man-made compounds.
Right.
But they're finding that it's easier to go and find microbial creatures,
okay,
bacteria typically, and fungi that are beneficial to the plant to add either to the seed or to the soil to prevent disease. These are being applied out in commercial agriculture nowadays and are starting to come into the greenhouse situation in many cases. And they are not chemicals. They are
creatures. Well, we've heard these stories about things, you know, getting to the lake and all this kind of whatever,
right,
get chemicals that use to get washed into there, which is having a sort of a
detrimental effect
on,
yes,
the ecology.
And that brings up the thing, like just simply our feeding of the lawn. Make sure that the fertilizer that you apply stays on the lawn, the turf, and not on the sidewalk or down in the curb and out into the driveway or things like that. Get back off from the hard surface into the lawn area when you fertilize. Those granules need to stay on the turf. Also, when you are purchasing fertilizer, you will notice for lawn fertilizers, the middle number is missing in most cases or is very low. They have taken phosphorus out of our lawn fertilizers nowadays, and that started to take place already a good 10 years ago, where there's very low phosphorus in most of the commercial lawn fertilizers.
The first number is the nitrogen.
Nitrogen.
Right?
Second number is the phosphorus. Third number is the potassium. If you're starting a new lawn, you can buy a high phosphorus fertilizer. It's usually marketed as a seed starter fertilizer. But after it's been applied, you do not need to keep adding it all the time.
Okay. Now, what about making sure your soil has the right pH? You hear that term.
Yes. The only way you can really know the pH of the soil is to have it tested. I, in particular, would recommend looking at the University of Massachusetts Soil Testing Laboratory. Their price is very reasonable. You can send a box size, you know, it's usually about a pound of material to them, and you'll get your results back in 10 days. The Ohio State University has stopped soil testing way back in 1999, so you can't bring it into your local extension office anymore or send it.
And the benefit of testing it
is to know what your nutrient content is by testing it. And sometimes we really do need to add extra things such as phosphorus or potassium in many cases to the soil. Typically, it is the... When you work or go to a garden center, you're buying a high nitrogen fertilizer. Typically, that is a slow release type that will release over an 8 to 12, maybe even a 14-week period so that you get slow release and kind of just nice steady growth of your grass rather than one big burst of growth of your grass.
People are starting with, we're getting past that, well, we're way past it now because we're in June. I haven't seen you for a while. So the frost-free date, which is usually you like the middle of May or end of May there. So people are starting to plant the annuals.
We hopefully won't have
And getting
snow.
Their vegetable gardens ready.
Yes. Right?
What things can you help us do?
Oh, the vegetable gardens, certainly there's plants out there. Be free with planting them right now. The soil's warmed up. It's in the 60s. All seed that you put in now should germinate quite nicely. And go ahead and get that garden ready and just plant away and water it to make sure the seed comes up immediately.
Okay. Can we tell them about your baby powder tip? Can we give that one?
That works.
Okay, all right. Send a secret email to Charles Benke. He'll explain that to you as well.
All right.
You know, it's very interesting.
Talk
you think
off
of,
air. Yeah.
Well, there's sort of technical garden things that you do, and then there's sort of, I don't know, old wives' tales
sort of type.
Things that work. You know, you plant marigolds around a vegetable garden, I've heard.
Right.
That helps.
Tracks in pollinators.
But it keeps out some of the other, it's supposed to keep out like rabbits and other things like
that.
Yeah,
it might.
And he'll roll his eyes at me when I say that, see?
You might find that you will attract starlings sometimes because they like to eat marigolds. It'll also attract your woodchuck to come in and eat it down.
See?
And, but surprisingly, if you'd plant
the
African.
If it works for you, it works for you, right? That's how
if you plant the African marigold, which is the real tall one,
right?
You'll actually get nematode control in your garden with that particular marigold. There's a product that comes out of the root system of that plant that kills off a tiny microscopic little worm that's in the soil. It's called a nematode.
Right. Are we dealing with slugs? If we're going to talk about tiny slugs, are we dealing with those lately at all?
Yeah, they're out there and moving around. There are slug baits. The important thing to keep in mind is that read the label. And keep them out of reach of pets because they are a granule or a pellet, and your dog or cat could go out there and pick them up. If you are applying them, put down like a asphalt shingle or a piece of cardboard over them to protect them. The slugs will come in and eat.
So I was reading something that basically a stream of a hose can do a lot for cleaning off insects and bugs and things like that.
Right. It does knock off many insects. It works very well on mites as a major mite control. Just by using a good blast of water will take them off. Same thing with aphids. You will knock them off from the plant. And thus take down the population.
Sometimes when you're looking to control them, you can see what's sort of the least invasive.
Least toxic.
Toxic thing you could do and everything else. Because sometimes even baits, don't they attract sometimes brings you things that wouldn't normally?
Baits can actually bring in other creatures that you don't want into the area. And maybe this brings up the thing too, as you alluded to, kind of the least toxic material. If you are of that mind to use more gentler products, you should look at what are called the horticultural or summer horticultural oils. The insecticidal soaps, neem oil are very low toxicity type products. They have an effect on insects. They mainly smother the insect. The oils smother the insect. The soaps actually eat away their outer coating, especially if soft-bodied insects. And the neem oil also will act as an insecticide.
Okay. So we got some good advice from Charles Benke. And where are some online places people can get some good information?
Well, one I'd always send people to is ohioline.osu.edu. Just put in Ohioline in your search engine. And it'll pick up most of all the insects and disease problems that we have here in Ohio. And you can learn a lot of things. There's also another interesting site called BYGL, which is Buckeye Yard and Garden Line, .osu.edu, another very weekly informative site that will tell you what is happening insect and disease-wise all throughout Ohio.
Sounds good. It's always good to get those things locally within your state because they're the ones that know what's happening for there. As we know, we talked earlier, those midges have arrived, so those pilks along the lake, you know, don't leave your screen doors open as well. It is 8:56. Charles Benke joining us. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Charles Benke.